Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today we have a very special guest, Philip Tyrone. I count Philip Tyrone as a friend, and he made a very kind gesture to my wife as she went through her illness that I'll never forget. I guess he wasn't always popular. He was denied entrance to all of the universities he applied except for one. And 4 years later, he ended up being Arizona State University's Man of the Year. He's been an entrepreneur from the start, buying and selling gold and silver in elementary school and later establishing an audio resale business in high school. Philip, you're just one of those guys. As a mortgage broker, he created a 720creditscore.com to help his clients increase their credit scores and improve their financial situation. Originally a book and a workbook, the product expanded to become an infomercial, a teleseminar, and an online wealth enhancement course. Philip, really, I'm glad you're here. Thank you very much for coming.
Bruce, I'd love to be here, and I'm excited to chat.
Okay, I have to go back to your start as this entrepreneur. Right? We all knew at least one kid that did that, you know, where he was the one that was buying M&M's at whatever it was, like Costco, and then selling them to you by the piece. And here you are. How old were you when you did something with gold and silver?
You know, I want to say, you know, I don't remember. All I know is I want to say probably like 9 or 10, because I remember one day I went and I would just save the money and I'd go down to the local gold silver store and buy one of those 10-ounce bars. And that was when
that's not a normal activity for a 9-year-old, right?
I don't know. I don't know why, but I mean, I just thrived on that.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, you know, I don't even know. All I know is that's what I did, and I remember seeing the price of silver just plummet. It obviously came back, but if you take the return I made of buying it, I think I was at the time buying it like $12 or $15 an ounce.
Okay.
And then it went down to like nothing.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
And then now it's like $30 or whatever. So I mean, it's probably like a 0.0005% return.
Are you telling me you still have it?
Oh, I have every ounce.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a trading part in it. You just accumulated.
Well, I just accumulated. I just kept it and kept it for forever, because what happened is it didn't come back until recently. So I saw no reason to sell it. I figured it'd be fun for the future.
Where did the entrepreneurial bent come from?
You know, both my parents have this entrepreneurial side, and my dad especially. You know, he was always about, Phil, you know, where can you add value in people's lives? Where can you add value in people's lives? So I remember when I was really young, you know, I opened up Phil's bank in my house, and I would hold my sister's money for and pay her interest.
Okay.
And then loan her stuff. So I mean, you know, it all started with that, I guess. I don't know, but
I'd say would you say that you were blessed with a pretty unusual message as a child then? In other words, this was what your life can be about. That's an unusual intention, if you will, to be of service to other people.
Yeah, you know, Bruce, I really think I look at the struggles I had, you know, growing up, and I'm so grateful for them, because, you know, I grew up with this big list. So I talk like this, literally, up until I was like in ninth grade, I talked with this bad, bad, bad list.
Okay.
I was really small, to the point where, like, my freshman year of college or freshman year of high school, I think I was like 4'9" and like 90 pounds. So freshman year of high school, talking with a list, and I sort of grew into my ears, but at the time, my ears were huge.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people would say to me, you know, I remember one guy saying, I thought Italians had big noses, not big ears, right?
Okay.
So because of that, I mean, what happened is I would get beat up, I would get teased, I would get, you know, just mocked over and over and over. I remember coming home with bruises on my arms.
Oh, my
And my
goodness.
Mom would be like, we're going to the principal right now. I'm like, don't do anything. Let me just manage it. And, you know, so you combine that with, you know, the, you know, my parents divorced really early on. And, you know, so there's this big bickering back and forth with my parents for many, many years. And, but all that stuff turned me into the person I am. And really, I look at this and say, you know, I take that. I take the mocking and the beating up when I was a kid, the bickering with the family, and the concept of my dad saying, "Hey, how can you add more value?" And then my parents have both of them have just tremendous work ethic, and I think that just made me into the person I am. So you know what? I'm not complaining. You know, I just figured it all worked out, and I wouldn't change a thing.
What's interesting about you is you really have, the loan volume that you did at one point, the schedule was pretty crazy, I'm sure, as far as hours kept. And, you know, workaholic. I mean, a lot of us go there at some point in our life. But ever since you've been married, there's been a pretty big shift in what you do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, my, you know, when I was doing the mortgage business, you know, no one worked harder than me. I remember one time I was driving to work on a Saturday morning at 4 a.m. and I was half asleep. I parked at the light and I was at 12th Street and Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica. And I parked at the light half asleep and I looked over to my right and I saw these guys obviously parting from the whole night. They're just getting home and I'm starting my day. I looked at them and I thought to myself, wow, they'll never catch up. There's no way they can have. I have such a competitive advantage on those guys. I'm going to work right now, and they're going to be sleeping till 2 in the morning, hungover.
Right.
And so really my work ethic, you know, was great. But what happened is, you know, all that subsided, or I shouldn't say, it wasn't an instant shift. It's been an evolution. But, you know, I got married, you know, six and a half years ago, and we have 3 kids, a 5, a 4, and 2.5. 3 kids and 1 on the way. And really my focus now is how can I, you know, add value to the world that doesn't require my time every single moment.
Yeah. I love that statement in the bio. This is the 2 questions. Will this opportunity give me more time with my family? And can this opportunity be leveraged without relying on my time?
Yeah.
That's pretty ingenious, and it's tough to manage, though.
Oh, you know what? It just requires a lot of thought and thinking up front, and then it requires faith and trust that it's going to work out. And you know, and we're all in this age of technology. I mean, you know, we can all leverage the microchip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm leaning into. I mean, you know, I look at this and say, how can I lean into the microchip and take advantage of every technological opportunity that we have so I don't have to do all the things I did 10 years ago? And I got to tell you, Bruce, it's working. And it was in the transition, just, you know, in full transparency, I doubted a lot. I mean, you heard me. We've had the conversations when I was blowing through money and I'm like, well, is this the right decision? but fundamentally, I didn't believe you could go wrong if you put family first. And if you put family first, it's got to work out. That's what I kept telling myself. So.
Well, and you certainly have spent a fair amount of money trying to figure it out. That's part of your biography was you spent about $500,000 on personal coaching and development. That's a lot of money.
Oh, well, yeah. Those are the when you can invest in people. I remember when we first met. I mean, I don't know if you remember the story, but I signed up for one of your classes and I couldn't make it for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, how much would it cost to get you one-on-one for a day, right?
Yeah.
And one-on-one, what it would take. Like, I don't care. And quite frankly, Bruce, I thought you were going to come back and say $25,000. $50,000 or something. And I just had such faith in you that I would have paid whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, literally, that's how. And a matter of fact, I remember after the day was over, I said, Bruce, do you realize, like, the value you just added to me? Do you see what, you know, I mean, you've got to charge more. I think I realized. Did I tell you say that?
Yeah. Yeah, you did. And, you know, it's I think that I've virtually never done that again. And it's just interesting. I don't know where that fits into. I do a lot of consulting, if you will, but it's not for fee. But anyway, that I always thought that was interesting because I tried to make the barrier hard for you to get a yes. In other words, I thought the price I gave you would be, oh, that's too much, which was my intention, by the way.
Right.
But you are tough to deny. I'll give you that.
That was so funny. And God bless Dina Forrester.
Oh, yeah.
She was the one.
She was the one
that got, I think she greased the wheel a little bit for me because I was doing everything I could to make it. Like, you can't deny me. You can't deny me. Oh,
well,
great memory.
That is part. How old were you at that time?
That would have been, I was like 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That has been a while ago.
Yeah.
When you have somebody that you are thinking about, okay, I'd like him as a personal coach. What are the criteria that you look at in this person's business life or in their person to say, I'm willing to accept them as a mentor?
You know, I've learned one thing, that I don't look for complete packages, or I very seldom I do, because I just don't know I can't get deep enough to understand and get to know personally everyone in every aspect.
Okay.
So, for example, you know, when I first came across you and I started reading your report, that's when I realized, wow, I need to go deep with this guy in real estate. And later on, we found out that we had a lot aligned across the board, right? But initially, I didn't know that.
Correct.
Initially, it was just real estate. And that's quite frankly why I have spent so much money, because I have these different mentors in all areas of my life. I mean, I have, you know, I meet with my wife and I meet with this lady every single week to talk about how we're raising our three kids. So I say to them, I say, so for example, we actually had a session today where I'm asking her, okay, here's how I handled this thing with my child. What feedback would you give me? So, I mean, you know, I got relationship coaches, you know, I'm very close friends with Harvey McKay and he really helps me at networking at a very, very high level. To give you an example with Harvey, I was at breakfast with him, I don't know, a year ago. And I said to him, he said, what's the 20-year goal? And I said, I want to be the ambassador to the Holy See, you know, being Catholic,
mm-hmm.
Holy See, the Vatican. And he said, oh, that's easy. And I'm like, easy? Huh? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, you just got to start building the process now. And because in 1979, he was sent by Carter to court the relationship with Fidel Castro. So he's been down that road. So I just look for people who have been down the path and living their life. And you know, and there's some obvious, there's some certain things I do that, you know, that, you know, like, for instance, if someone doesn't have the integrity or I see that they're just blatant breakdowns in our value systems, then it wouldn't work. But for the most part, I just go really deep in trying to find someone who thinks like, who I want to learn from in a specific niche.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your niche of, if you put it under umbrella of credit improvement, isn't always filled with desirable characters. So let's differentiate between what you do and some of what people think a credit repair company is.
Right. Okay, so let me tell you what 720creditscore.com is all about. And it all started, Bruce, with my own bad credit. Because I walked into a bank one day, and I tried to I was overdrawn on my checking account. I would never forget, it was back when Home Savings of America was still around, and it was at 26th and Wilshire in Santa Monica. Walked in, lady said, you're overdrawn in your checking account. And, you know, embarrassing to hear. And she said, well, why don't you apply for overdraft protection? And I'm like, perfect, apply for overdraft protection. She said, you know, you're going to have to run your credit report. I said, okay. And she ran my credit report, and she came back and said, you know, your credit score is too low. Can't qualify. And you can't qualify for $100 overdraft protection. And at the time, I was in the mortgage business. So I came back, ran my credit report, and I had the credit in the low 600s. And it wasn't that I was late, blatantly late all over the place, but there was errors and just certain things I just didn't do, certain tricks to the trade. And I looked at my mortgage and I said, "But if I had a higher credit score, what could I save?" And just on the house I had on Washington Street, it was a small two-bedroom, two-bath house. Literally, I could have saved somewhere between $500 and $600 a month on that mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized, wow, if I can't get myself the best loan possible, there's a breakdown in integrity when clients come to me and expect me to get the best loan for them. So I started using my credit as a guinea pig. And quite frankly, I tested out other credit repair companies. And one guy I paid to clean up part of my credit, actually, he did something illegal, unknown to me, and it actually froze my FICO account. So when I tried to buy into one of the investment properties you and I talked about years and years ago, FICO wouldn't even give me a credit score because they thought I fraudulently wrote this letter. Fortunately, I didn't do it. The credit repair guy did, so they had no proof, and they released it. But I learned in the mortgage business and dealing with these credit repair companies, one, they're not predictable, and two, they do things that are frankly illegal. So, and when I'm dealing with, back in when I was in the mortgage business, my average loan size was right around $1 million.
Right.
That's a large commission. And I found myself losing loans because I would refer a client to a credit repair company, and then they wouldn't follow through, or they wouldn't get the work done for numerous reasons, because they're not bulletproof, those type of companies, because they're not. Because they rely on the actions of someone else. And what happened is when we didn't get the credit done, I lost the loan. And then all of a sudden I'm looking at this and saying, this is a bad idea. I'm not getting paid on the credit. I'm referring this guy for credit repair. I don't get paid on it. And I end up losing a $1 million loan. So I built the structure based on what I learned with my own credit, that there's certain things you can do that repairs your credit. And I come under a different philosophy than credit repair. Credit repair is, let's get this bankruptcy off your credit report. Let's get this late payment off your credit report. And my philosophy is completely different, okay? And the reason why is because, according to Fair Credit Reporting Law, you cannot take a late payment that's legitimately late off a credit report, like it's illegal to do.
Right.
So I won't even go down that road. I say, okay, great. You had a foreclosure, you had a short sale. Okay, fine. Let's rebuild your credit around the foreclosure, around the short sale, to make you lendable again. And that's why, literally, I have people that had bankruptcy one day start reestablishing their credit by following our system, and you can literally have a 720 credit score in 6 months, in 12 months. It all depends on how quickly you implement our program and how bad your credit is. Like, some people have had bankruptcies and end up having 100 late payments. Some people have bankruptcies and end up having 5 late payments. So there's numerous aspects, but it works, and it literally works every single time.
Well,
and by the way, but just so you know, in terms of numbers, we've had over 12,000 people go through our program. So this isn't a idea that I have that I've trusted on 42 friends. We're talking 12,000 people have gone through the program.
And, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you on air, and I wanted this to be part of our archives, is, I'm speaking on Saturday, and I've written a new report, and in part of the research that I've done, I've read a lot of things for Fannie, Freddie, and FHA. Who they're loaning to right now is very different than who they were loaning to. The FICO score range, I'll just give you an example. In 2006, 45% of FHA loans were to FICO scores under 620. In 2012, 3%.
Wow.
That's how radically the loan business has changed.
Yeah.
So, having, having a good FICO score is not just about saving money. It's really now about having access at all.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, without a question.
Yeah, but I mean, this is much different. Before, you know, when you were in the loan business, there were lots of tiers, you know. As a matter of fact, Prime, I don't even think most lenders wanted to go through the struggle of documentation. So why don't we just do this? You know, it was you're doing a stated income loan that was legit, but it was just easier and it was no big deal. And then if that didn't work, you had other gyrations that you could do, and somebody that was, you know, being able to fog a mirror ultimately probably could get a loan. Man, that is not true now.
No.
And so that's I think this process is very important, because right now, you know, in Riverside, give you an example, about 62% of all sales involve somebody that lost the home already to the bank, so it's an REO sale, or it's a short sale. So 62% of the time when you close an escrow, a buyer doesn't emerge from that escrow. A non-qualified person emerges who has got to find housing. Well, you know, you do that 1,000 times and then 10,000 times, pretty soon an area changes who's making up and who's inside the home, and that's not so hot. So for somebody to come back to credit worthiness, you know, and the other thing is you deal with this all the time. Aren't there a lot of misconceptions about, okay, I've got a foreclosure, I'm out for, and you fill in the blank. What is the common misconception of how long I'm done for?
Well, I mean, it's typically 7 years that people think. People think it's 7 years because the foreclosure and anything on your credit is going to stay on your credit report for 7 years. If someone has a bankruptcy, people think it's 10 years because the bankruptcy stays on your credit report for 10 years. And the sad thing is that is just completely, you know, misleading for numerous reasons. And they think, you know, I want to follow this up with something, Bruce. They think that once you have a foreclosure or a short sale, whatever, if you do nothing, when the short sale foreclosure falls off your credit report, your credit's gonna rebound.
Right, it magically emerges.
Yeah, and that's not the case. The key thing is, and this is why what we do works. And this is there's no secret to what we do. We just rebuild your credit. So if you have a short sale or a foreclosure, you need to reestablish credit instantly. I mean, instantly, like the next week. And there's credit card companies out there that are secured credit cards that will give you credit. You just have to put a little money in their bank or something like that. Now, something that people don't realize, and this is according to a Federal Reserve Board study, that 46% of credit card companies report the wrong information to the credit bureaus, which has a negative impact on your credit score. I mean, think about that.
Wow.
46%. So that means, you know, I mean, you know, if you have three credit cards, you got a 50-50 chance that each of them are not reporting the proper credit limits or credit information. There are a lot of different things that they could be reporting wrong to the credit bureaus, which impacts your credit score. Which is why, you know, I mean, you know, so you need to know what credit to get, where to get it, and one of our websites is, if you have poor credit, if you go to 720securedcards.com, 720securedcards.com, those are credit cards that absolutely will report to all three credit bureaus and report absolutely the right credit. And, you know, and obviously they approve every single person. I mean, if you do not get approved by those cards, you filled out the application wrong. I mean, that's just as simple as that.
Philip, we only have about 40 seconds left. Go ahead and give your website, please, to everybody.
Sure. It's 720creditscore.com, 720creditscore.com. And on there, there's going to be a pop-up, and you can get a free report. It's absolutely free, emailed to you. And after the report, we have a free webinar that you can attend. It's like an hour long, and it's full of value. 720creditscore.com.
I just pulled two of the reports this morning, and I can certainly validate that great information. Philip, you're joining us for one more segment, and we'll talk to you then. Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.